finance and investment trend two. We are transforming to 3.0, and it's going to be quite dazzling. The first part of this is I pointed out that the World Federation of Exchanges have reported that global equity market capitalization has now risen almost to $70 trillion. It's important to remember in the beginning of the 90s, it was only $9 trillion. So it's multiplied by over almost 700% or more. And it's important to remember that back in the 1990s, many countries didn't have stock market exchanges, or if they did, they were quite tiny in amount. And we're going through a process where in 1990, a very small portion of the financial assets and the actual assets and economic activity, we're going from a world where a very small percentage of that is expressed and traded in the stock market to literally a very high percent around the globe that will be. And part of that is now exchange-traded funds have created liquid access for Western investors to invest in a broad selection of emerging markets, emerging equity markets. So if I want to invest in companies in Vietnam or Indonesia or Singapore, buying the individual stocks would be too illiquid. Buying funds in that country could be very cumbersome for a variety of reasons, but exchange-traded funds allow me to invest in a broad selection of the companies in that market and do it on a much more liquid basis. So that liquidity is growing, and it's moving us to a world where we can literally trade places. So I can buy Singapore, go short Hong Kong, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and expect that trend to continue and go to more granular levels. We've talked both in the equity overviews as well as the wrap-ups about falling interest rates. To our shock and amazement, the best performing asset class of the year so far is bonds and treasury bonds. Right now, we're living in a world where the U.S. dollar is flying up. But we continue to look around the world and look at the debt and derivatives load and think, how can this possibly continue? But it does. But it's quite a weight on the world and quite a weight on growth. And part of what you're seeing with growth is a world struggling under those over that debt and derivative. Anyway, one of the things that's happening in the finance area, which is most interesting, is if you look at the move to get global citizens on smartphones and on the internet, of course, what follows is the effort to get them transacting through those vehicles, so mobile payment systems, and moving onto the internet to do transactions. And the reality is the emerging market cannot possibly afford the spreads that are charged by whether it's developed world banks or credit cards or services like PayPal. We see with the IPO of Alibaba the intense interest in the amount of float that Alipay, which is not part of Alibaba, it's held off and separate private, but the amount of business that it does and how it transacts. And it's not surprising that as Alibaba comes out and raises with a very successful IPO, $25 billion, we see Apple announce Apple Pay, and then suddenly PayPal cutting its terms to sort of compete with Apple, and finally eBay throwing in the towel and spinning off PayPal. So in terms of mobile payment systems and internet payment systems, the last 2 weeks have been very, very interesting. The reality is if you look, what's happening is as Google launches satellites and puts out its Google Wallet, or Apple puts out Apple Pay, as Joseph said, we're looking for a variety of parties to tender for the global population through the smartphones and through their wallets or payment systems. And so what we're trying to do is bring those transaction costs way, way down, razor thin. And that's part of what's happening with the rise of Bitcoin and digital currencies. We're looking for ways of reaching that. And it's not surprising now with the squabble in Russia, you see Putin and some of the BRICS now talking about creating their own systems, because there are real questions about the integrity of the online currency clearance and exchange systems. And I think everybody knows you are trying to tender for the global population through the currency. Anyway, the online platforms are popping up everywhere. One of the things that has been most interesting in the last couple of years is the U.S. market has just taken off up against the emerging markets. The emerging markets started to move up this year, and they've now backed off and kind of broken down again as the dollar has risen, which means the central bank intervention has certainly spread a lot of money that could go into sort of securitizing the global equity markets, but certainly the U.S. has been, or the U.S. market has been the greatest beneficiary of that process. The hard thing for many of us, and as you watch many of the commentators looking to explain what's going on, the hard thing is when you have a financial system that is this centrally managed and highly leveraged, the variability of feasible scenarios, both for the markets and the currency systems, becomes wider and wider. In essence, you don't have price and pricing in different markets regrounding into fundamentals through the daily market action because you have so much intervention. And so there are a lot of big questions that could dramatically impact the sort of pathway that we take to securitizing the whole planet and moving to a global currency system. I laid out some of the questions in Trend 2. Where will the breakaway civilization reinvest their growing capital? How will the new global middle class invest their savings? Will Asia and the emerging market countries develop pension fund systems, and how will these institutions invest? Certainly in the last couple of years, we've seen enormous amounts of money flowing into the equity markets from both G7 and G20 institutions, both the sovereign wealth funds and central banks and big governmental institutions. And that has clearly supported the strength in the equity markets. And then finally, will growing cyber warfare and online financial fraud threaten the fundamental integrity of the financial system? Because as we're rapidly getting more and more dependent on these systems, their integrity is coming more and more under question. I also posted a roundup for the global markets for the year to date. Just to mention, in the recent week or two, we've been correcting in the U.S. stock market, and as the dollar rises, commodities and emerging markets have taken a pounding. My belief is that the long-term trend, certainly in the U.S. markets, is up, and this is, we're way overdue for a 10% to 20% correction. So I don't see anything on the horizon that would change this from being just a correction. There's been a lot of scare talk. I would be very careful. I would take all of that with a grain of salt. Certainly the guys in the commodities market are having a hard market, and I'm hoping that Franklin will join us next month and we can talk a little bit more about precious metals and sort of what's happening in commodities. I think the big question is how much will the settlement systems be bifurcated, and how much will the BRICS insist on getting, sovereign control over their digital systems and digital cloud?